Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Crunch Time here at BIMCrunch.com, the fun and personal interview that is the perfect accompaniment to the sociable side of the global BIM crew. In the hot seat today is a man who is to make his presenting debut at BIM Show Live 2015, where he will conduct a presentation on BIM adoption for landscape architecture projects. He is also currently writing a much-discussed book on BIM for Landscape, commissioned by the Landscape Institute. He is a landscape BIM system designer at Colour Urban Design. It is Henry Fenby-Taylor. Morning, Henry.
Morning. Thanks for that great introduction, Jack.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad you thought it was great. Right, before we go into the quickfire questions, I could have let the UK BIM crew and beyond learn a little bit more about you personally. Let's discuss you professionally. This interview, actually, we had a bit of a precursor to this, because I spoke with Claire Thirlwall from Thirlwall Associates a couple of weeks back on Crunch Time, and we discussed landscape architecture as a whole, what's out there in relation to BIM for landscape architects. There's not a lot, but you are seemingly that guy who's going to kind of push it through and really generate a resource that people can look into and really hopefully get a lot out of. So before those quickfire questions start, we'll talk about you first and your role at Colour Urban Design. Now, how did that come about? You are a BIM system designer there. Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about your role within the business?
Okay, well, I applied for the role of Landscape BIM System Designer, which is a knowledge transfer partnership between Teesside University and Colour Urban Design. They were looking for someone to kind of augment their already kind of much advanced BIM offering, because they've been doing BIM since, well, their first Build Show Live competition, which was Build Qatar 2012, which was a great learning experience for them. So I basically got that role. It is an academic project management and technology role. So I'm managing the innovation side of the Colour BIM development. So that basically means that I'm responsible for educating the organization in BIM, so in terms of the kind of BIM level 2 standardization, and in terms of the kind of the technology side of things. So I mean, there's a lot of strings to my bow. So obviously I'm doing the BIM book as well for landscape, but I'm also adapting the software that we use. So we are using Revit for landscape, which has it's taken a lot of flack, which I think is fair enough. It's taken flack from a lot of sides. It isn't the most intuitive software in the world, but I've been able to adapt it just by programming, basically, to just make it a little bit smoother. So where we've made one big efficiency is in the creation of our kind of intelligent floor surfaces, and I've made updating those and implementing those and adding those to a landscape 900% more efficient, which is an approximation. There's a bit of maths behind that number, but basically that came about through just a kind of analysis process of how we use the software and just going through trying to find the path of least resistance to make that software more efficient for us. So that's how kind of one of the ways that we've been able to augment what we do. I'm obviously doing the BIM book for landscape as well. That is basically through the BIM working group. I developed a new strategy for the book, which was adopted, which was to basically split it into three sections for different audiences. Because one of the aspects of BIM reading that I've done is I often find that a lot of the BIM books and documents that are out there vary in tone drastically. So some of them will be very much kind of very easy to read, but might not get into detail. And some will be very detail orientated and might not be that accessible. So this book is in three sections. The first section is for kind of strategic decision makers. And so that is essentially allowing people who don't understand all the BIM terminology or only have a kind of a basic understanding, the ability to really get to grips with how BIM will affect their organization, how BIM will affect the industry, and how they can adapt and set things in motion to adapt to that. The second section is for project managing, so it's for BIM level 2 projects. So as part of the kind of experience that we've had working towards BIM level 2, we have been implementing the various documents and roles and responsibilities on projects. So it is an explanation for people who are running projects on how to do that and how things will change as a result in terms of how their projects operate. And the third section is the technology section. It won't tell people what software to buy. I've said that I'm a Revit user myself, but everyone is different, and certainly landscape architecture is quite a wide church. So we have people who are dealing with the landscape scale side of things. They are looking at regional and national scale information in a geospatial context. and the sort of usual BIM tools that are used in the industry wouldn't be appropriate for them. So we'll be looking at the sort of things that they would need to do, but also at the site scale, the sort of different options that are available to people and how they can be best used to bring about the sort of BIM benefits that we will highlight throughout the book in terms of being able to kind of feed into the life cycle of an asset. So that means we'll essentially be interacting with the software, interacting with architects and civil engineers and other consultants and finding the best ways of doing that technologically. But as I say, it's not going to be recommending software. It's more of a guide to ask the right questions for software developers so that people know what is possible and they can fit that into their own implementation strategy, which is really the ultimate aim of the book. That's the kind of the golden thread that runs through each three sections, is that we're looking to provide people with a guide to implementing BIM within their organization.
Fantastic. Well, I was going to ask you about the book, but you got, obviously, you know, it's so exciting, actually, the amount that you've just been able to tell me there. And I'm going to go back a little bit, because you mentioned that you use Revit yourself. There's been a lot of talk of how there's a lot of people, obviously, fair different software platforms to other people. But a lot of the time, landscape projects don't really tend to be, the software isn't kind of correct, and it doesn't really mesh as well as it does for infrastructure or for buildings. Now, a couple of months ago, there was an EcoBuild webinar in which Richard Waterhouse from RIBA said that the upcoming NBS toolkit will be applicable to landscape architects. Not a lot is known about it, obviously, because it's not completely released, but perhaps that could end up being a tool that is kind of slightly more universal as opposed to some of the others that are out there at the moment.
Well, I'm on the beta testing group for that toolkit, and I would say that it would be a universal tool that I think will be applicable to everyone. I think in terms of really separating out what we mean by BIM in terms of BIM as a process, this will be able to educate people and kind of enlighten them on the hoof from every aspect of the construction industry, not just landscape, but every other consultant and contractor, and even clients themselves will have a much better understanding of how their projects are operating, because it's an intuitive bit of kit even now, even before it's released. Mm-hmm. It very clearly shows you and enables you to kind of respond and act with what you're doing at what stage and to what level of detail you're doing that. So I think it's certainly creating a certain amount of rigor, almost, I would say. It's a balance. I mean, I was trying to be even-handed when I'm talking about these things. I think there'll be a certain level of an administrative burden on through having to use this kit, but I think that's massively offset by the benefits that it brings in terms of having a very clear single point of truth, almost, not in terms of like the common data environment, which is the single point of truth for your files, but in terms of the NBS's Digital Plan of Works toolkit, which will be a single point of truth for what is expected of you and when. So I think in that respect, I think it will really enable the entire industry to really engage with the BIM process.
Well, if you know you're on the beta testing team and you're saying that, well, it's definitely a good sign for the toolkit. It is described as the missing piece, you know, maybe that will bring the whole level two ideal together. So hopefully it will be, and obviously the beta testing's going really well, so it's good to hear. Going back to your KTP a little bit, you mentioned that it was through a knowledge transfer partnership that you joined Colour and then was subsequently passed by the Landscape Institute to commission the book after your good work there. Can you tell us a bit more about the knowledge transfer partnership and how that really did come about?